Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring how AI and automation are changing industries and jobs. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, and we're really tackling something today that fundamentally rewires how we think about our livelihoods. I mean, the stakes for understanding this transition are just incredibly high.
Right, exactly. Like, imagine spending 4 agonizing years and, thousands of dollars mastering a college major.
Oh, yeah.
Only to graduate and realize a cheap piece of software can now do, 80% of your future job in 3 seconds.
It's terrifying for a lot of people.
It is. That is the panic a lot of people are feeling right now. Mm-hmm. So whether you are a university student agonizing over your course load, or maybe a young professional trying to figure out your next career move, you are staring down a digitally enabled future.
Mm-hmm. The rules of the game are shifting practically overnight.
They really are. But, our goal today isn't to lean into that panic.
Yeah.
We aren't here to spin stories about a robot apocalypse stealing everyone's livelihood.
No, definitely not. We are looking at this through the lens of career readiness and adaptability. The fear mostly comes from a lack of clarity.
For sure.
When you actually break down what is happening underneath the hood of the modern economy, you realize that the digital skills you develop today aren't just for survival.
Right.
They're the exact mechanism that will allow you to transition and thrive throughout a professional life, a life that honestly might span 5 or 6 different distinct careers.
Wow. Yeah. 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Because the workplace is evolving much faster than traditional academic syllabuses can keep up with.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's unpack this. There has to be a difference between a job disappeared completely and a job just evolving, right?
Hmm.
Because the panic assumes the former. Like, people assume the robot is physically coming to take their desk.
Yeah, that's the classic image, right? But we have to look at the underlying mechanics of what a job actually is. When we talk about job transformation, we're really talking about task unbundling.
Task unbundling, okay.
Right, because a job is not a single monolith. It's a complex bundle of dozens of different distinct tasks.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Historically, and especially right now with artificial intelligence, technology primarily changes how specific tasks within that bundle are completed. It rarely replaces an entire job whole cloth.
Right, so people always picture a robot taking their entire desk, but it's more like the software is taking over the calculator, leaving the human to interpret the math. Is that the right way to look at it?
That is exactly the right way to look at it. Think of an average knowledge worker today. AI might be phenomenal at 3 of their daily tasks.
Like what?
Like summarizing a 50-page report or writing boilerplate code. But it is absolutely terrible at the other 17 tasks.
Like convincing a stubborn stakeholder to approve a budget.
Exactly. Or reading the emotional temperature of a room during a pitch. AI can't do that.
I have to play devil's advocate here, though. Let's say I'm an entry-level analyst. If an AI suddenly does 17 of my 20 tasks instantly, my boss doesn't need me and my 3 colleagues anymore. She just needs one of us to handle the remaining 3 tasks. How is that not job destruction for the other 3 people?
It's a fair point. It sounds like a simple math equation, but economies don't operate on static math. They operate on demand.
Okay, how so?
When a technology makes a process incredibly fast and cheap, the demand for that process skyrockets. Let's use a historical analogy of spreadsheet software.
Oh, right. Like when Excel came out.
Exactly. When Excel was introduced, bookkeepers and accountants panicked. The physical task of erasing and recalculating columns of numbers by hand took days.
And suddenly software did it in a millisecond.
Right. People thought the accounting profession was dead.
Because the software essentially took over the calculator, leaving the human sitting there with a blank screen.
But the industry didn't fire all the accountants. The cost of running financial models plummeted, which meant businesses wanted more models.
Ah, I see.
They wanted daily forecasts instead of quarterly ones. They wanted complex scenario planning. The software handled the tedious calculation, the rote mechanics of the math, so the human didn't have to.
Right.
The human was suddenly freed up to interpret what the math actually meant for the business, to advise clients on strategy, and spot long-term financial trends. The job didn't disappear. It evolved from manual calculation to strategic advisory.
So it actually became more valuable.
It did. And the number of accounting jobs actually grew.
Which means the baseline for what makes an accountant valuable completely shifted. If the machine is doing the rote calculation, your value is 0 if your only skill is adding numbers quickly.
Precisely. Your value has to come from somewhere else. This workforce evolution creates a massive shift in the type of demand. Because the routine, predictable tasks are being automated away across almost every sector, a premium is now placed on a specific trifecta of skills.
What are those?
Digital, analytical, and creative. You need the digital fluency to operate the emerging tools, the analytical rigor to interrogate the data those tools spit out, and the creative intuition to combine that data into something innovative.
So it's not about learning to code just for the sake of coding. It's about learning to think with the technology. You are collaborating with an algorithm, not competing against it.
Yes. And what's fascinating here is how this shift isn't just morphing existing jobs. It is necessitating entirely new categories of work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are seeing emerging careers and brand new roles that literally did not exist 5 to 10 years ago. Think about prompt engineers, AI ethics managers, or automated workflow architects.
Let's actually pause on those because prompt engineer gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
What does that person actually do all day? I mean, it's not just typing questions into a chatbot.
Right. No, not at all. A skilled prompt engineer understands the semantic architecture of large language models. They know how to set complex constraints, test edge cases, and structure natural language inputs to force an AI to generate highly reliable, specific outputs without hallucinating false information.
So they're essentially programming in plain English.
Exactly, using their deep understanding of linguistics and machine learning logic to solve corporate bottlenecks. They build the bridge between the messy human problem and the literal, rigid nature of the algorithm.
And since tasks are transforming at this micro level, and these incredibly specific new skills are suddenly in demand, you know, you can't just cross your fingers and hope your current degree or skill set magically stays relevant. You have to actively build a defense against obsolescence.
Which brings us to the concept of transferable skills. They are the ultimate insurance policy for a dynamic career.
Transferable skills.
Right. We often over-index on hard technical skills. Knowing the specific interface of a proprietary software program is a hard skill, but those have an expiration date.
Right, because a software program will update, or it will be entirely replaced by a newer, cheaper system in 3 years.
Exactly. And if your only value to a company was your muscle memory of which buttons to click in the old system, you are highly vulnerable to a technological shock.
Because you tied your entire professional identity to a tool that just became obsolete. So what replaces that? What is a transferable skill in this context?
Things like complex problem solving, high-level emotional intelligence, cross-functional communication, strategic adaptability.
The human stuff.
Yeah, exactly. These are the skills that allow you to learn the new system faster than anyone else and then teach it to your department while keeping team morale high during a stressful transition.
Right.
I mean, emotional intelligence is highly valuable if you are managing a marketing team. It is equally valuable if you are a healthcare administrator or a financial advisor navigating a client's panic during a market crash. The software changes, but the human friction remains constant.
So what does this all mean for someone sitting in a dorm room right now, you know, picking a major or applying for their first entry-level job right now? It sounds like picking a highly rigid, hyper-specialized path based on today's technology might actually be a massive gamble.
It really is. It requires a fundamental shift of perspective. You have to stop asking, what specific job title do I want? And start asking, what kinds of complex problems do I want to solve?
Oh, I love that. Focus on the problem.
Yeah, because when you focus on the problem space, you remain flexible about the tools you use to solve it. You also have to actively monitor industry and technology trends.
Which ties into our strategy of keeping an eye on where things are heading.
Right. You need to look closely at your chosen field and identify which tasks are highly repetitive and predictable. Those are the tasks that will be automated. You want to build a career strategy that anchors your value on the unpredictable, nuanced, and human-centric parts of that field.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because that ties directly into the practical application activity from our lesson materials.
Mm.
If you are listening to this and wondering if your current path is safe, try this challenge today. Pick one specific industry. Take 30 minutes and actively research the underlying mechanics of that field. Figure out what specific routine tasks are currently being handed over to software.
Yes, look at the actual tasks.
Then look for what new roles are springing up to manage that software. Finally, identify what uniquely human skills are suddenly commanding a premium to fill the gaps the technology leaves behind.
It's such a great exercise. It forces you to look at the actual data. And once you do that, the abstract, paralyzing fear of automation tends to vanish.
Because it's not a mystery anymore.
Exactly. It gets replaced by a very clear, objective roadmap of where the emerging opportunities are clustered.
So let's make that roadmap concrete by looking at a real-world scenario of this happening out in the field right now.
Okay, we can look at the logistics case study from our sources. Logistics is an industry fundamentally built on the mechanics of moving physical goods from point A to point B as efficiently as possible.
Right, lots of moving parts.
And because it relies heavily on routing, scheduling, and inventory tracking, it is an industry incredibly ripe for mass automation. In this scenario, a massive logistics company integrated heavy algorithmic automation into their entire global workflow.
We're talking dynamic routing software for delivery fleets, right?
Yep, dynamic routing, automated optical sorting machines in the fulfillment warehouses, and AI-driven predictive software designed to anticipate supply chain bottlenecks before they even happen.
Now, predictive software, let's unpack how that actually works, because it sounds like magic, but it's just math. How does a computer predict a bottleneck?
It operates on pattern recognition at a scale a human brain just can't comprehend. The software is constantly ingesting real-time data from tens of thousands of global sources.
Like your kind of sources.
It is looking at current weather patterns over the Pacific Ocean, real-time traffic congestion on major interstate highways, historical data on how often a specific vendor is late during the month of December, and even sentiment analysis of news articles regarding potential port strikes.
Wow.
Yeah, it cross-references millions of variables instantly to say, there is an 80% chance the shipment of microchips will be delayed in Long Beach next Tuesday. Reroute the shipment through Seattle today.
Which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
A human dispatcher couldn't possibly run those calculations in 5 seconds. So the software takes over the routing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the exact scenario where the traditional narrative tells us the robots have arrived to cause mass layoffs.
Exactly.
The human dispatchers and warehouse workers are now obsolete, right?
Well, the traditional narrative is wrong here. The company did not fire their staff. They chose to aggressively retrain them.
Oh, wait, really? They retrained them?
Yeah. Because the automated systems improved the company's operational efficiency so dramatically, their profit margins grew, and they suddenly had the capacity to take on much larger, exponentially more complex enterprise clients.
Okay, but where do the humans fit into that?
Well, an algorithm, no matter how advanced, cannot call a furious client whose critical shipment was just delayed by a freak blizzard and negotiate a solution that saves a 10-year relationship.
Right, the algorithm doesn't do empathy.
Exactly. Yeah. An algorithm cannot sit in a room with a vendor, read the subtle body language of the executives, and creatively redesign a custom packaging system that satisfies both parties' egos and budgets.
So the algorithms optimize for immediate mechanical efficiency, but they lacked the empathy required to optimize for long-term human trust.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the automation handled the heavy lifting, right? Both the physical lifting of the boxes and the computational lifting of the routing data.
Right.
And by stripping those tedious tasks away, it created a vacuum that needed to be filled by human intuition.
And that's the aha moment.
Yes. The company transitioned their workforce into highly analytical and customer-focused roles. Workers who used to physically scan and sort boxes on a conveyor belt were upskilled to analyze the macro supply chain data the new system produced.
That's a huge shift.
It is. They started managing complex vendor relationships and solving logistical puzzles that required negotiation and strategic compromise.
So the workers weren't discarded, they were elevated.
Mm.
But, you know, that elevation relies on a massive assumption.
Huh.
It assumes the warehouse workers actually wanted to learn the new predictive software.
Huh.
What happens to the person in that scenario who just crosses their arms and refuses to adapt?
Yeah, that's the catch. This raises an important question about personal agency. The company provided the retraining pathway, but the workers themselves had to step onto it.
Right.
They had to be willing to be beginners again. They had to tolerate the discomfort of learning a complex new digital interface. If a worker crosses their arms and refuses, they are choosing to make themselves obsolete.
Which brings up the core concept of personal responsibility in a digitally enabled future. You know, we hear responsible use a lot in tech, and usually it's about data privacy or making sure you aren't using an AI to plagiarize a paper or ensuring a hiring algorithm isn't biased. But it's so much more personal than that.
It is. When we talk about responsibility in the context of career development, we are talking about owning your own evolution. It is your ethical responsibility to your future self to remain open to continuous learning. Ignoring digital literacy is no longer a cute personality quirk. It is professional negligence.
I know people who wear the phrase, "I'm not a computer person," like a badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely.
It's used as a shield to lower expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If you say you're bad at tech, nobody asks you to learn the new system.
But in today's economy, saying "I'm not a tech person" is as dangerous as walking into an office in 1950 and saying "I'm not a reading person."
Yeah.
You are completely cutting yourself off from the currency of the modern workplace.
You have to cultivate curiosity instead of fear. The responsibility isn't just about using AI ethically, but responsibly managing your own employability by not resting on outdated knowledge.
Exactly. It comes down to a battle between curiosity and fear. Fear is a paralyzing emotion. When you fear a new technology, you avoid it, you criticize it from a distance, and you hope it goes away.
But it won't go away.
No, it won't. Curiosity, on the other hand, is the engine of adaptability. Curiosity makes you look at a daunting new automated tool and ask, how can I leverage this to do the boring parts of my job so I can focus on the interesting parts?
Right.
If you are curious about how a system works, you will inherently learn how to collaborate with it. Owning your evolution means recognizing that your formal education does not stop when you are handed a degree. The degree is merely the baseline foundation.
So we have to stay adaptable. We have to drop the "not a tech person" shield.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the exact tools and habits required to actually execute this on a Tuesday morning. Because it's easy to say stay curious, but how do you actually track what skills are becoming valuable before it's too late?
Well, you need mechanisms to monitor the landscape. Where would a learner start if they want objective data on these shifting trends?
So one of the most powerful, practical tools for building this confidence is Google Trends. Think of Google Trends like a weather radar for your career. You can literally track industry and technology trends in real time to see which way the wind is blowing.
That is a great analogy.
Thanks. Yeah, you can type in two different programming languages, say Python and Ruby, and look at a 5-year chart. You might see one trending consistently downward while the other is skyrocketing. You can track specific job titles, software tools, or industry buzzwords, and see if interest is growing in your specific city or country.
That weather radar analogy captures it perfectly. It allows you to see the storm of demand forming before it hits your industry. And once you identify which skills are gaining traction, you need a structured environment to acquire them. This is where professional learning platforms like LinkedIn Learning and Coursera become absolutely critical infrastructure for your career.
Oh, totally.
We aren't talking about random, unverified video tutorials. These platforms offer structured, often university-partnered courses on artificial intelligence, algorithmic automation, advanced digital skills, and the macroeconomics of the future of work.
And what makes a platform like LinkedIn Learning particularly strategic is the signaling. When you complete a course on an emerging digital skill, it automatically updates your professional profile.
That's a huge benefit.
Right. You learn the skill, and in the same breath, you broadcast a signal to every recruiter and employer in your network that you are proactively engaging with new technologies. You are proving your adaptability in real time.
The overriding principle to grasp here is continuous literacy. Developing digital fluency is not a one-time class you endure and then cross off a checklist for the rest of your life. It is an ongoing daily habit.
Right.
It is reading a technical breakdown of a new AI model over your morning coffee. It is taking a 20-minute course module on supply chain software while you commute on the train.
It really is like treating your brain as a smartphone operating system that requires constant, small background updates.
Oh, absolutely.
If you ignore the software updates for a year because they are inconvenient, eventually the apps just crash and stop working. You have to allow the updates to install if you want to remain compatible with the world around you.
That is the perfect transition to the core reflection question from our lesson materials. I want to pose this directly to you listening right now. How can I prepare myself for changing industries and future workplace expectations?
As we synthesize the major takeaways from this deep dive, answering that question requires accepting a few fundamental truths. First, remember the Jevons paradox and the unbundling of work. Automation primarily targets and transforms specific workflows and predictable tasks, not necessarily entire jobs.
Right.
Second, keep your eyes on the horizon, because the same technology that automates the old is actively creating emerging careers and brand new opportunities that we couldn't have imagined a decade ago. Third, protect yourself by prioritizing those deeply human transferable skills, your emotional intelligence, your cross-functional communication, your ability to solve messy, ambiguous problems. And finally, recognize that continuous lifelong learning is no longer optional. It is the ultimate key to maintaining your employability in a rapidly shifting landscape.
It requires a permanent shift in your mindset. You have to move from a defensive crouch to a proactive stance. The technology is here, it is scaling rapidly, and it will keep advancing. The professionals who thrive in the coming decades won't be the ones trying to outcompute the machines or blindly holding on to outdated workflows. They will be the ones who figure out how to leverage the immense power of the machines to do more meaningful, highly human, and creative work.
So to you listening, we encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready. Do not let the staggering pace of change intimidate you into paralysis. Use it as fuel to continually level up. And as a practical next step to lock in everything we've covered today, please make sure you review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities provided in your lesson. They are specifically designed to turn these abstract concepts into actionable career strategies.
And if you want to explore the deeper economic and technological mechanics of this transition, we highly encourage you to read the reference materials that informed our discussion today. Specifically, look into the books, The Second Machine Age, Prediction Machines, and The Future of Work. They provide an incredible foundational understanding of how this digital shift is fundamentally restructuring our world.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over as you go about your day. If an algorithm can eventually do all the routine, predictable, and mechanical parts of your future job, what unique, irreplaceable human perspective will you bring to the table that no machine ever could?